This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn. I'm Chua Antek. Improving the education system is one of our country's most immediate priority. And here to talk about one way to achieve this is my guest, Marian Solomon, the Executive Director of FPSP International, which pioneered an approach to learning based on problem solving. Joining her are KV Soon, the Director of Endeavor, and Lalita Nae, who is the National Director of FPSP Malaysia. Marian, I'll start with you. Help us define what is FPSP.
Well, Future Problem Solving is a program that was started around 40 years ago in order to bring problem solving and awareness of the future to students. It was started for gifted students, for students who might have been bored in the classroom, and to give them a process to use for problem solving. Since that time, it has grown to include all students that are interested in education and excelling, and it has grown into more than just dealing with topics, which it originated with, and now we actually deal with the community and creative writing and storytelling presentations. So it's a lot. It's a lot going on. It's critical and creative thinking.
How do you define what a problem solver is, at least in this program?
Problem solvers, the process is actually what the problem solving is all about, where they learn a six-step process where they are able to analyze a situation and research and know all about a topic, but then they know how to identify challenges within a topic. They learn how to state questions, underlying problem, come up with solutions. They then need to generate criteria to decide on the best solutions, and they develop an action plan. So there's a lot going on, a lot of thinking.
And Lalita, you've been doing this for a while now. When did you discover this program, and why did you decide to bring it to Malaysia?
Okay, I didn't bring it to Malaysia. It came into Malaysia in 1999. When the National Association for Gifted Children introduced it. At that time, the National Director of Australia, she came in and did training with maybe about 50 or 60 of us. Since I was in education, and I was, for selfish reasons, my two children at that moment, I wanted to start something for them, but just beyond what the school offered. And I started it as a parent initially, and today it's grown to reach out to more children. And my neighborhood was one of my first supporters.
And Katie, how did you come to this program?
Well, it was introduced to me by my wife, who was introduced to me by one of Lalita's students' parents. And this is a very interesting program, and I think Malaysia needs it.
What is the role of your organization?
Let me tell you a bit about my background. You know, Endeavor is an organization that is a consulting company, but what we want to do is really focus on creating impact, creating social impact. It's not just about making money, right? That's one aspect. Personally, I'm a homeschooling dad, okay, and I'm also one of the founders of the Malaysian Home Educators Network, and I believe that being engaged with children directly with their education process, we need very good tools to help develop thinking, problem solving, and innovative exploration. And I found this program excellent.
Marian, this program was founded by Dr. Alice Paul Torrance, and he came up with this, as you mentioned earlier, more than 40 years ago in 1974. Mm-hmm. How much, maybe you can tell us a little bit about him, and how much has this program had to change or adapt since those four decades?
Right. He's considered the father of creativity by many people. He's written over 100 books and articles on creativity. But I did not know him personally. I saw him on stage at one of our international conferences when he was very elderly. But until the end of his life, he continued giving and making sure that people had creativity within their lives and doing what he could. So he really, he was the father of it. And he then gave it over. It became a nonprofit. And as it grew, affiliate programs came in. We probably have 40 states within the United States that are involved. And then we have 15 countries that are now involved. So over the 40 years, we continue to branch out. We have mentoring going on now in China and Turkey and you know, it's just something that people are noticing more and more, that they want these skills for their students.
What is it about his methods that was able to foresee the needs of a 21st century student in the 70s?
Well, that I would call him a visionary, because right now, Future Problem Solving Program International, we work with the 21st Century Skills, which is a program developed in the United States to bring about really good education, which we need in the United States. We're at that point right now where we need to pull together to have good education, just like every country does. So this program has developed the four C's, which is creativity, critical thinking, collaboration, and communication. And it's just amazing to me that they're modeling their program today with the 21st century skills off of what Dr. Torrence started this program on. So he saw it. I mean, he was a very intelligent man. He cared a lot about students, and he saw what was really important. But he also saw that you needed those things to be able to prepare for the future. So I think that's why he really – and he was also about teamwork. Collaboration was very big. We now do have individuals that can – we are a competition. We're a curriculum and a competition, but we also have not just teams, we have individuals for the students that cannot work collaboratively, which we do have today.
Lalila, you came to this, as you mentioned earlier, as a parent. What convinced you of its effectiveness? Because we are very obsessed with test scores. Mm-hmm. What made you see that this is something that could complement our education system?
Okay, for me, I think, like I always say, education is not scores, not grades. Of course, you don't want your child to get D's in a row, and I'll be kidding or lying if I said that. But I think there was a little bit more to it, and I felt that my children, they're not what you would call gifted or whatever, but I think they had potential to go beyond what the school was offering. So when I went for training with this program, I felt that it gave them opportunities to look at the world from a different point of view. And it's not all about – I don't want to bandy terms around like critical thinking and problem solving. I saw that they could do research. They could actually go in to see how they could apply information, because our children are loaded with information, but it stays in that memory box. It doesn't come out. There is no application. There's no way in which they can actually – use it. And, you know, so it's just like our computer. We have so much we hardly look at. So I thought if I could do it with my children, it would convince others that it can work. And I'm not a marketing person, so I didn't go there, but I did it as a parent and as an educator. And I'm more than glad that I did that. So here we are.
And maybe KV, how are you collaborating with FPSP then?
You know, as I mentioned, this is an excellent program, right? And a couple of things about the program resonates with the vision of what we like to do at Endeavor. Number one, I like the thing about the four C's. The four C's can be put together and add one more C. Sorry about that, because we just love to add characters to our, you know. The third C, the fifth C is community. Community means people, the students will have a, from a collaborative approach, have a more inclusive view and wider view of society. And we believe that children, students today, needs to be socially engaged. I want to introduce this. I want to introduce this term. We are very engaged with our books, our studies, our scores, what our bosses want, what our teachers want, but we forget what we want and how we can help society. Mm-hmm. I think that's important. Future Problem Solving Program, I see, is a very interesting means to reach to the future. And when you see problems of the future and try to fix them through our problem solving methodology, we're actually being engaged with society. Am I right? I think that's right. I see it this way, very differently. So this is the exciting part of the program, and I would like to see how this program can be enhanced and reach out to people to develop this 5C. That's one point, right? If you like another 6C, yeah, sorry about that.
I guess I have another C also.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The other C is the value of cooperation, right? Because you know, cooperation talks about transformation, innovation, we need change management, we need problem-solving people. But in reality, I work with so many people, not many people are problem solvers. Many people just wait for things to happen, to drop on the lap. Secondly, people wait for problems to be solved by someone else. Mm-hmm. Then you take the solution, maybe gain credit, I don't know. Right? Mm-hmm. But very few real problem solvers. And I think we need to change that. Right? So this is another opportunity to build leadership for future career and in the corporate life or in corporations that they work for in the future.
I think that also the competition, and you talk about cooperation. When we have our international competition, we have kids come from around the world, and they come to compete against each other. But the most important thing to them is they're meeting new friends, international friends from everywhere, and that is cooperation. They get on stage at the variety show. Lalitha usually runs the variety show for us, and she puts the kids together. But the rule is you can't get on that stage unless you have two different affiliate programs. So we have Malaysian kids with kids from Tennessee, and we have kids from Australia on stage with kids from Texas. So they're learning about each other, and we so need that in this global world. We need to have them collaborating and communicating, and that's what they're doing.
You have something to add as well?
Yes, I just wanted to say that the 6C or 7C, I'm not sure, is character building, okay? And I'm not sure whether if they go through this process, they're going to fix things, but I think it's what they're going to learn is the skill sets to, like, anticipate issues and possibly look at it and say, we're not waiting for something to happen, we're going to act on it. And so if you have those six steps in place, you may get to some point where you may manage it, you may cope with it a little better than you would have. So a lot of our children have it, but they have no outlet for it. So if they have a 10% information base, but they have these and research, I can see wonderful things happening. But a lot of our children do not have this opportunity and are not aware of what the program can bring for them. And I think that's why we are here, whereby they actually become, I think, more influential people, not in terms of money and position, but making an impact in even the smallest way possible. And I think we might be actually going in the right direction if we did that.
How much of this is due to the program and how much of it is due to the teacher? Because successful people always credit someone who mentored them, a mentor maybe, or a teacher who guided them in challenging periods of their life. So what's the role of the teacher in a program like this?
Okay, I basically think you don't teach the children as much as you facilitate. You bring out what they inherently already have, and a teacher is not supposed to assume that she knows better. Because once you do that, I think the child holds back because they say, oh, she knows more, she's got experience. But if we could get teachers to say, okay, I do not know as much, but this child knows a lot. And when I did this program over the years, I'm not IT. I'm a bit of a dinosaur with IT. But I've learned. You know why? I had to keep track with them. So when it came to science and it came to things like that, my students actually were the facilitators. Of course, they couldn't lie because I did my research. But it was like a two-way thing. So they also get a good sense of worth, that they can contribute more than people think they can. And I think that gives you a lot of a boost. And so that's how it's been going so far with Malaysia. And you may know people who've done it with me, and they could speak for it.
I'm speaking today with a panel of guests about the Future Problem Solving Program. And we'll talk more after this short break. You're listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. This is Live and Learn. I'm Troy Antic. If you've just joined us, the topic today is Future Problem Solving Program. And Marianne Solomon is my guest today. She is the Executive Director of FPSP International. Joining her are Lalitha Nair, the National Director for FPSP in Malaysia, and KV Soon, who is the Director of Endeavour. Marianne, could you give us an idea of the kinds of activities that this program puts students through? Because I see terms like action-based problem solving and the problem-solving curriculum on your website.
All right, I'll tell you, action-based problem solving was created a while ago because the younger students in the classroom are not ready to compete. So we put together a curriculum that is hands-on. It's still the six steps. It's a means of learning the problem-solving process where even second graders can determine criteria and then evaluate cookies or pizza or a food dish is what is their favorite. So they learn the things that are going, the steps of the problem-solving process. They are not competing. They are doing it within the classroom. They might have a community fair at the end of that. And there is curriculum that is created for them to use. The other components are built on global issues. Problem solving is built on topics. Every year there's five different topics. And this is a six-step process that the students do two practice problems. They get feedback, authentic assessment about what they did right, where they need to improve. They then have a qualifying problem where the best students and teams performing there move on to the affiliate or the national competition here in Malaysia. And then the top students there, the champions, we would call them, would move on to the international conference, which is typically held in the United States where we're based. Community problem solving, which we were talking about community before, that was created in 1984. And last year at Michigan State University, we had 70-plus teams of community problem solvers who came there to show what they have done, a 10-page booklet, an addendum, a scrapbook, a presentation with two evaluators live there with the students talking, Malaysian students talking with the judges that are asking them very specific questions. And like Letha said, the teacher is a facilitator. So in the community problem solving, the teacher facilitates, the students go out and do it. They would come to a radio station and talk with you and publicize what they're doing. And I'm just telling you very quickly, just to give you an overview, but we have scenario writing, which is the use of the same five topics where they project the writings into the future, 25 to 30 years, and scenario performance, which is they may not be students who like to write, but they love to tell their stories. So we've tried to capture all types of learning styles and to affect the people that we address, the students, to get them where they need to be.
Lalita, how has Malaysian students performed at these competitions?
Okay, we're not winners as such, but I think we are champions in our own right because we participate every year, though we are very small. Our children give their best, given that there is no real support from anybody except from the parents. And so, I mean, a big thank you goes out to all the children who are in the program because of their parents' support. How do they fare? I think they do one of the best or most awesome presentations at the variety show. They actually place Malaysia right up there.
I was going to disagree with her when she said they're not winners because yes. I love their performances. They're so good.
Yeah, their variety shows just showcase Malaysia in a way that I think the world hasn't seen. And the children really come wholeheartedly and they know that's one place they can really walk with their heads really up high. And so that's for me, they're very good in the sense of getting people to come and participate with them. They do all the wonderful things like homestays. They stay with American homes every year that we go in. And so they learn the American way of life and all the things that they study on TV or see on TV blown out the window. And they can't believe that's not what it is. So I think in terms of educational experience, the intangibles that they have gathered over the years, doesn't actually translate if you want to look at it in terms of scores or do you have a report that says they've done marvelously. I think they've done marvelously. I would like them to win more. We've had one or two winners, but I would love them to win more. But if they go in the right spirit of comradeship and things, I think they're doing well.
Can I add something? The students here from Malaysia are competing against students who have this curriculum, future problem solving, in elective classes, and they have this every day. What Lalitha is doing is she's meeting with students on Saturdays, and she's working one day with them. So when you look at how do you compete, they compete very well in that they're there and that they are meeting new friends and having a global experience. Her community problem solving, I think they've done very well. She's had some very interesting topics that the kids have chosen. So I think they do well with what they have here. I've been here a number of times. I think this is my fourth trip here, and I would love to see future problem solving spread more into where the students have regular training so that they can do better. But they are doing excellent right now.
Is that the kind of support that you were lamenting that there's a lack of?
I wouldn't lament because I would have given up many, many years ago. But I think if we had support, we will reach more children. And it's not just the advantaged or the urban advantaged who get recourse to these kind of things. We could reach out to schools in rural areas and other ways where you have great potential. I mean, the children in rural areas and in government schools actually speak for some of the greatest potential we have in the country, but we're not reaching them. And that, for me, is maybe if you want to say I lament that. But otherwise, I think more support, and KV Soon and his group have come on board in some way now, and we hope to grow far with them.
KV, maybe you can elaborate a little bit about the challenge of bringing this to more students.
I think, to us, challenges are very good. They're not challenged. We will go through, we will make it, right? But I think what I want to do is I want to share where this program is going to go forward in the next 12 months to 24 months and beyond. Number one, it needs to reach more schools, right? And we have now set up possible pilot programs in several other schools here in Petaling Jaya. At the right time, we'll make the announcements. Secondly, we need to work with NGOs who are engaged with students and children, especially in the places, in the communities that are underprivileged, who would never have an opportunity to attend a program like this. Remember, I think FPS is a non-profit organization. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing I love about this, because it's not about the profit. Mm-hmm. It's about the sustainability of the program and the outreach, and most importantly, the change in the children and the students to become better people and help society. The third part of our strategy is to address the alternative education community in Malaysia. Not many people like to hear about this because alternative education technically don't exist. Because there's the compulsory education, you must go to school. There's a huge community of homeschoolers. Anyone from the unschooling community, unschooling means totally no curriculum, they develop their own curriculum, to the structured learning centres of the homeschooling. And they don't have enough tools. And I think this would help them a lot. So if we spend the next 12 months or so addressing these three communities, I think we'll have very interesting results coming out. And I'm quite excited to work on this. We have a few NGOs who have agreed to come on board. We are going to train the facilitators to take in. The homeschoolers, we're going to train the parents. They will be the facilitators. Then let them manage the way they educate their children with these tools, right? So it's going to be quite exciting. So I enjoy. I like the way that this the FPS tools are being modeled and being taken to the community.
Speaking about access, Mariana, what is the age group that FPSB is targeted towards?
Well, like I said, the action base is kindergarten through ninth grade, and that is non-competitive. But the competition doesn't start till fourth grade. And it goes all the way. We have levels. We have our junior level, which is 4th through 6th grade. Our middle level is 7th through 9th grade. And then our senior level is 10th through 12th grade. And we have adults. We have people who could not give up once they graduated, and they still participate in the adult level. And that's in the global issues problem solving. So we reach a lot of people.
Larita, what about in Malaysia? What
the levels,
are the age groups?
I do the same. I do introduce it. I think the youngest that I've had is 5 years old, and she stayed on for 7 years. She's just left the program because of school commitments. So we've had kids, children coming in as young as 9 and 8. But our target group has always been the standard 4s right up to, say, Form 4. Because exams always rule the day. So when you have a PTS or a UPSR, sorry, my child can't come for FPS. But having said that, a lot of parents have stayed on. And like I always boast about the fact that many of these children now are at some of the most prestigious universities in the world. And not because of FPS, but I think it enhanced their learning. I would love to say it's because of FPS and me, but the reality is they came with good stock. And we just kind of worked on it and made it better. And so we've had very young ones. No adults have taken on the challenge, though I put it out there. So we're waiting for that. So, yeah, that's it.
It's a lifelong learning.
Yes, exactly. I would describe it that way.
How many countries is it available in?
Well, I would say 15, but I think it's more. We've added on a few this year, but around 15. China is our latest one to come on. They've just started this year. So they're very excited. It's interesting. Yeah.
Do you see maybe trends or specific challenges when you go into a new country? Because with PISA and TIMSS, you can see Asia-Pacific countries do very well, but they're very exam-oriented. For example, they do a lot of their education is geared towards a huge, very significant university entrance exam. Do you like that kind of challenges when you go into a country like China?
Well,
for example?
I will tell you that colleges are now looking for a lot of involvement and creativity and critical thinking. And one of our scholarship winners went to she actually was accepted at Stanford. And when I visited her out there, I was in California and we were talking, and she said, the reason I passed up all those others and I'm out here is because of my community problem solving, because what the colleges are looking for is involvement. And that's what she had. And she is a success story. And she was with Future Problem Solving from sixth grade right up through graduation. And she still works with us today, even at the college level. So I think that's what – I really believe that that's what is needed today is the creativity and critical thinking. You can get your answers anywhere, and I think our tests will be changing also.
So it seems like this is a win-win. When parents or students say that they have exam to go for or they have other commitments, what is the thing that's holding them back if it's if the program is so beneficial?
Okay, I think it's not, but I don't think they're questioning the benefits of the program, but I think it's more like the normal quote. You know, you have to get your, otherwise you can't get into a university. And I think that's something that mindset that we need to look at, because I think they believe scores make the kid. To an extent it does, but I think more than educating the kids, I think we need to touch parents. And that's the most difficult group, honestly, to get to, because I think they have all got certain targets for their children, and they're only looking at it in that one. So maybe with FPS, with parents, might be the first step. And then, you know, you go down.
To get the kid and the parent in the same classroom, that would be amazing. Right?
That might be a bit tiresome and difficult for me. I'm going to say that for sure, because you might just have World War III in the class. Because the children would love to do FPS and not do the scores, you know. So, but I think it's not a dire strait situation, but we would love it to change. So every time we call out to parents to come, we wish more come. Yesterday was a very interesting day because we had such a great crowd and parents who all said it was rather inspiring. But I wasn't sure how inspirational it was, but they really took back a lot of hope. And we hope that that hope carries on and they come meet with us and make small changes. We're not going to revolutionize education here. But if we could just do little steps, I think we'll go a long way.
I think about the parents' commitment. Over the last 5-10 years, I've personally noticed that some parents are starting to change the way they look at education. Just looking at homeschool community, I'm not promoting, neither am I rejecting, I'm just, you know, that there's this trend. People, parents now dare to make decisions that in the past was totally unthinkable. Unthought of, right? Pull their kids out of school. And if they don't pull their kids out of school, they are willing to say now, it's okay about the exams, don't worry. If there's an FPS, go ahead, forget the exams. I hear more and more of this, and I think we need to reach these parents.
I want to say something about what Letha said. She said about the facts go into the memory bank. I don't think the facts go into the memory bank. Once you take the test, they're gone. But I think through participating in future problem solving, it becomes part of your learning, and it doesn't go away. So I think they're going to do fine on those tests. I think they're going to do better on those tests if they're involved in their learning, and that's what they're involved in when they're doing future problem solving.
Yeah, that's because it is in the memory bank.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all a question of bringing it out. to apply it in the right context. And
but the rote learning is not in the
It is not. I would agree with you. And rote learning is definitely not the way to go because there's only so much you can learn at any one time. So it's not rote learning that we're talking about, but the fact that today, everybody says our children today are so clever. I mean, this is a line you hear. Why? Because they have, availability of information. But then again, what like Soon was saying, parents, I think it's more the urban parents who have the choices of homeschooling, international schools, private schools. But these options are not available for parents across the board. So how do we get to those parents? Because these children can't go to good schools. They can't go to good universities if they do not pass UPSR with 5 A's, or they don't get the PT3 scores, or they don't get SPM whatever A's, because you need that to go to the universities that we have locally or overseas, you know? So I think this is where we need to. It's a big task, but it's not an impossible one. And so with I have Soon and his network, that's the way we need to go. And if we can manage that, I think we'll do wonderfully.
I think one interesting trend and something that we could possibly encourage is really alternative approaches to future. Our conventional thinking is pass the exams, get good results, go to a good university, therefore get good jobs. But I think today is not going to be the same for the future for our children. I think with tools like the FPS methodology, be it in the urban community, and if we can give the opportunity to reach out to the less privileged and the non-urban communities, I think we can create alternative economies, if you like, you know. And I think that's a very important, very very interesting thought that we need to think about more, have more discourse about this, and we need to create alternatives. And I think that's important. Not everyone will fit into one way, and because he can't fit in, he's a failure, and that's wrong.
Marianne, I'll give you the last word. So for people who are listening out there, for whatever reason, they're not able to formally enroll, what can they do to enhance their creativity or problem-solving skills at home?
You can always, now that we're on the internet, you can always go to the webpage and find sources. You can come to our webpage. There's materials there. There's all types of learning out there. Problem solving is always going to be in your life. And so if you can find the tools that help you to problem solve better, you're just going to be a better learner. So I would say make sure you're involved in creative endeavors and critical thinking. You're generating ideas. You're being spontaneous, because that's what life is going to be in the future of these students.
Lalita, how do people get in touch with the Malaysian chapter of FPSP?
Okay, we do have a Facebook and we do have a website, which is fpsp.org.my. I wouldn't say it's one of those most awesome-looking websites, but you have all the information you need to get. Facebook is a little bit more active, and of course they can contact me on my email. It's nair.lali@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Thank you, everyone. We've been talking about the Future Problem Solving Program. You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.